Good morning and welcome to a new day where we are called to worship our great, faithful, wonderful and loving God. This is a day again in October where we meeting in through this medium of internet, online, where we come together, although scattered yet together, to bring God's glory, to bring our praises to Him. So I'll write to read a few verses from Psalm 16. This psalm will be used as a platform for another promises that we're going to look at from God's Word today. It is a promise for a great future. It is a promise and an answer of God's love to us for those who feel that they have been a failure, for those who feel that their life has been lived in vain. And so this promise, this reassurance comes this morning as we reflect on God's goodness and mercy of His love for each one of us. Let me read a few verses from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in You I take refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from You, I have no good thing. What an affirmation that is this morning to say of our God that apart from Him we have nothing else. Nothing is good in this world. Everything disappoints us. Everything let us down and everyone. The psalmist continues and he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Can we affirm that today together? Let me read that verse this morning again. I have set the Lord always before me. He is before me at all times, in my mind, in my thought, in my going, in my coming, in my waking up and in my sleeping. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Do you believe that? God is at your right hand, forever present with you, as we talked last week, and therefore you will not be shaken. A thousand, the scripture tells us, may fall on your left or on your right. You will stand firm. Then the psalmist says, You have made me known, You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I pray that this morning as you watch this service, you will be filled with joy, with God's joy, joy of restoration of your soul, of your heart, of your life, joy that only He can give, joy that says, I praise You because You are my God. Joy that echoes throughout the past of your life where it says, I am forgiven, I am not guilty, I can love God for who He is. Joy that comes from reaffirmation that Christ is our God and He is always with us. Let's pray together. Father, we pray indeed that this morning You will touch our hearts anew and afresh through Your Holy Spirit. You will come and visit us with Your salvation. You will be at our right hand and we will feel that presence. We will know deeply within our hearts Your peace, Your joy. We will know Your forgiveness. Father, we pray that as we listen to this worship, we'll engage with Your presence, we'll engage with Your word, with the singing that is there, and we will come to know Your joy in our hearts, Your peace in our lives. We worship You, we thank You. In Jesus' name, Amen.
I will be Thankful for my family, my friends, and my home.
I'm thankful for food and how God has kept us here all throughout 2020.
give you a future filled with hope. Jeremiah 29:11.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us again for our service this morning, and for a second part in our message on to looking to God's promises. Thanks again for those of you who've written to me or text me or rung to say how much you've appreciated the message last week, especially, and the messages throughout the lockdown. So again, I'm very grateful to you for your encouragement. I so much appreciate it. As I said before, I need it as much as anybody else. And I'm grateful for your time that you take to either email me or send me a text or whatever. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I think I've replied to majority of you who have encouraged me. And if I haven't, please do forgive me. Please do. But I appreciate it. Thank you. And you'll remember that last week I've been talking about one of God's greatest promises in the scripture. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you remember those? That's what I said. That's, you would get up in the morning, you look at your hands and says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Incredible promises from God, from the scripture that we have here. And I said that almost every four verses in the scripture has a promise to you and to me from the Lord, that he is with us, that he guides us, that he comforts us, that he is faithful to us, and so on. And this morning I want to carry on with another great promise. It's a promise that is so familiar to us, that is so well known. We probably quote it many a times. We refer to it when we pray with people. We've given it to people as a verse for reassurance and reaffirmation of God's love and presence with people. It's a very well known, a very, very well known scripture. But this is the trouble, because the familiar can become so unfamiliar at times. What we think we know so well, we actually don't know it that well. We don't stop to reflect on things like that. So the verse that I want to look at, the promise that I'm going to look at this morning with you, is it's taken from Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me just read a few verses. I'll read it from the NIV, but then the scripture that I'm going to use for this morning is the New King James Version. I just love that translation for this verse. And especially for one I want to talk this morning about. So listen to this. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completely for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place for which I carried you into exile. What a promise, and how powerful how reassuring and how incredibly relevant that is to us. We facing a Babylonian captivity, more or less, through this coronavirus. We haven't got 7 years, but we 70 years that the Israelites have been through, but we got 7 months of this. And we find it increasingly difficult as we move from a stage of help and frantic activity to a stage of really almost grey area where it doesn't seem to be an end to it, where it doesn't seem to have a light at the end of the tunnel, where people get a little bit more frustrated and probably angry, and rightly so at times. And how much we need God's promise for today. So let me read this verse to you, Jeremiah 29 from verse 11 in the New King James Version. And I like this to be on your screen here. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, very different from the NIV, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, a very, very well-known verse. Many of us know it inside out. And as I said, we quote it when we pray with people. We give it to people as reassurance verse and so on. How popular is Jeremiah 29, 11? Let me tell you that last month, it was the most popular verse on Bible Gateway, on that website on the internet, where you can find all the versions of the scripture there. It came out at number one out of 2 billion total page views. Number one. This is what people have found really reassuring. This is what people have been looking for, to find reassurance, to find love, to find peace, to find joy, to find an incredible promise from God for this time in their lives. Well, we will never understand this verse unless we know something about its background. I already mentioned a little bit that the Israelites were in captivity, in the Babylonian captivity, and God comes to them and says, I have a plan for you. I'm thinking about you. I haven't forgotten you, but I'd like you to stay here for 70 years. Cultivate the land, bring your family up, look after them, because this generation is going to stay here for a good 70 years. But I will be back. I will come back to you, and I will take you back to the land that I promised to you. And so it was written to the Jewish exiles in Babylon, who had been, against their will, forcibly removed from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Having been uprooted from all that they held dear, they now lived hundreds of miles away in the heart of this worldly pomp and pagan idol and worship and so on. All their dreams are shattered. All their plans for the future have been completely smashed away. And they wonder, how could God have let this happen? If we are truly his people, how did we end up here? You know, I have heard questions of this. If God is faithful, we've been following him for so long, how does he allow this to happen to the world, to us as Christians? Get the coronavirus, have a loved one who passed away. The Israelites wonder if God had forgotten them, if he has stopped thinking about them. As we think about this verse, I want you to keep a couple of things in mind. Number one is this. God will not always do what we expect him to do, but he will always do what he says he will do. He might not do what we expect him to do, but he will always do what he promised he will do. Keep that as a framework in your mind and your heart for those 10-15 minutes that I'm going to share this message with you. And so let me unpack this verse. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I so much love the New King James Version of this verse. God thinks about us all the time. This is the first thing that I want to mention to you, that he is so much in love with us that he thinks about all the time. You remember when you fall in love the first time, you you cannot stop thinking about that person day and night. You're thinking about her, about him. You can't go to sleep. You wake up in the morning thinking about him or her, and so on. And this verse expresses that kind of love that God has for his people in the midst of their circumstances, in their 70 years of captivity. God says, I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts that I have about you, that I think about you. I know the thoughts I have. I can't stop thinking about you. You know, we don't always think of each other, do we? How many of us, put hands up, forget our spouses of our children's birthdays? It happens. It happens everywhere. It happens. We forget to buy cards or whatever. But these days, what we do, we get the apps, don't we? We have apps that remind us that it's X and Y and Z birthday on Facebook or on the phone or whatever. And it reminds us. And quickly, of course, we send a card, we send greetings on Facebook or whatever to those who we remember, or the app reminds us that it's their birthdays. You will recall that at the beginning of the lockdown, we've seen on our news images, pictures and clips of one of those cruises ships called the Diamond Princess. And it was quarantined off the coast of Japan for many, many days. And there were a couple there on that cruise who have been interviewed a few times, as one of them got sick and then the other one got ill with the corona and so on. And one reporter talked to Ellis Vincent, a 76-year-old retired airline executive from Australia, who was on the cruise with his wife, of course. When asked how they were spending their time in the tiny little room there on the ship, Mr. Vincent made a comment about his wife, and I found it very, very amusing. She has an excellent memory, he said. She is able to bring up every transgressions I have ever had. I believe she is not finished yet. And this is it. You know, it's a kind of, some of us don't forget some things, but we forget others. And it's easy to focus on the bad things of one another than to forget the good things about one another. And God forgets our sins, but he remembers us. God forgets the transgressions, iniquities, the terrible things that we do, but he never ever forgets us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Remember that, never forget. I am thinking all the time about you. This is what this verse says. God forgets the sins that we made, all the bad things that we've done, but he never ever forgets us. He knows your face and he knows my face. He understands your pain. He goes with you through your pain and records every tear that you shed. This would have been an enormous encouragement to the Jews during that time in the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Remembering through Jeremiah, he reminds his people that he thinks of them daily. He hasn't forgotten them. He is with them there all the time. God knows what he is thinking even when we don't. I find great comfort in the following truth. God knows that indeed, what he is thinking all the time, even when we get the foggiest idea of what that is all about. And so the second thought I want to share with you from this incredible verse is that God thoughts and goodwill and his heart towards us is always our thoughts of peace and not of evil. That's what the second part of the verse says. My thoughts about you are thoughts of peace and not evil, as the New King James Version describes it. It's not enough to know God, to know that God actually thinks about us, but we need to know that he is thinking, or what he is thinking. In this case, it makes it very clear. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil. The translator renders this phrase in different ways. In the English Standard Version, it says, plans for welfare and not evil. In the Message translation, it says, plans to take care of you and not abandon you. In the New Living Translation, it says, I have plans for good and not for disasters for you. This answers our greatest question that humankind can ever answer. Is God for us or is God against us? This is what an 18th century philosopher, German philosopher Lessing asked. Is this a friendly universe or not? I want to know. Here we have God's answer. All his thoughts move towards one expected end. Nothing happens by chance or for no purpose at all. One writer said, every affliction is timed and is measured. We will never properly understand Jeremiah 29 verse 11 if we think it's like a divine rabbit's foot to protect us from pain or to keep us from suffering. No. Remember that this verse was given to the Jews to give them hope in the midst of their tribulation, in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their captivity. And this verse reminds us that this captivity will not last forever. Our COVID captivity will not last forever. This kind of verse where it says, I have plans, I want to give you peace and not, I have thoughts of you for peace and not evil, is not a get out of Babylon free pass straight away. It isn't. You will still stay there for 70 years, but I will be with you, and I am thinking about you, and I have plans of peace for you for the future. Don't we all need to hear this? Because this is what I hope that will come at the end of this coronavirus in the whole world. A plan, God's plan of peace for the whole world will be fulfilled. God's plan of protection, of love, of faithfulness will come true. His promises will come true at the end of this incredible, challenging times that we go through together. Even when we sin, God does think no evil towards us. Even when we suffer because of our sin, God intends to bring good out of that. That's what grace is all about. Grace that only works when we are good, it is no grace at all. Grace works at all times in our lives when we obey God and we don't obey God. We need grace that runs to us when we have acted stupidly. We need grace to come through us and run through us when we've been good and we are obedient to God. And finally, out of this verse, I want to bring another truth. Because the verse goes and it says that I have I'm thinking not only good thoughts about you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, but my thoughts about you are to give you a future and a hope. And this is my plan for you. Some version says to give you an unexpected end. Oh, I love that. An unexpected end. Almost like everything is reserved for a bigger party of celebration of God's goodness and love and faithfulness at the end. I like that translation, to give you an unexpected end. God is not just giving us a vague promise that things are going to somehow get better sometime, probably. And that's true, of course. But things, and this verse has a particular focus for us. God has appointed an end for his people. Nothing will stop them from reaching that appointed end. If our prime minister or if scientists in our country cannot give us an end to the COVID, God gives us an end through his promise that there is an appointed time when it will be over. And that's his promise. This will be over. This will finish soon, but at the moment we're going through it. 70 years down the road, the same God who raised up a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, to judge his people, will raise up another pagan king, Cyrus, to deliver them. So Cyrus of the Persian Empire comes and delivers people out of captivity. He wasn't a good king. He wasn't a faithful king. He wasn't a believer king. He was another evil king whom God using his purposes to set the people free. The Lord has no unfinished promises. The Lord has no unfinished plans for you and for me to prosper us, to bring us peace. He's thinking all the time about that, or how to bring good out of the evil that we as people have gone through or have perpetuated, and the mess that we made for ourselves. The Lord has unfinished plans. That includes sending his people to Babylon, keeping them there for 70 years, and bringing them home once again. See, in this light, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 becomes a great comfort, especially when we go through hard times. Jeremiah 29 becomes like a rock, like a solid foundation for our faith, knowing that God is there. It teaches us that God thinks of us, number one, that his thoughts towards us are good, number two, and that when his purposes have been completed, he will bring our troubles, our fears, our failures to their appointed end. That's number three. This is the hope and the future we all need to hear at this time. This is what we need to go through. I grew up in a city in Romania, in the southwest of Romania, in Târgu Jiu. And it was known as being a pretty industrial city. It had three big factories, and all were so dreadfully polluting to the whole city. One was making cement, one was making glass, and the other one was making rubber. We're making tire, we're making glasses and plates and porcelain, and the other one was making prefab flats, all the materials for that. So you can imagine the pollution in that. That's why probably I have asthma these days, because of that pollution that I grew up for 22 years of my life. And I got to visit them all the biggest. I had friends, or as a teenager in the high school, we used to go and do some work there, some practical work in the summer holidays for us to learn what it means to be a worker in one of those factories. And I remember going into the glass factory where they make lovely, superb crystal glasses, and they make porcelain and lovely plates. And I never forget the process that they show us there, how they make the bottles of, like, bottle of Coke or wine and so on. And they show us how they make these bottles, like the bottles of Coke. They make them in such a way that everything it's taken from sand and quartz and put together and then shaped in. And then as the bottle comes out, it's put on a conveyor belt. And it shows us how, as they go on the conveyor belt, this manager, this engineer, took one of the bottles, took it in his hand, and he just crumbled it like that. Oh no, he's going to cut his hand, he's going to have blood all over his hand and yours. And he said, this is what happens to a bottle of glass, made of glass, before it goes and it reaches to the oven. He was on this conveyor belt, shaped, ready to be put in the oven, to be strengthened, to be properly glazed, and get its strength, get its properties that makes it very strong and breaks not very easily. And I've never forgot that kind of analogy, that kind of image, as we apply to our lives today, our lives of faith, our world we guarded. We cannot avoid the ovens of life. It is in ovens like COVID, it is in ovens of bereavement, of betrayal, it is in ovens of failure, it is in ovens of fear that the Lord allows us to go through, so that at the end, and we come out of it, will come glazed, strong, that when we tumble over and fall off a shelf of comfort or whatever it is, we will not break as easily. I hope that you will take this as a illustration that you can apply to your life, that you will draw strength from it, and indeed allow God the Holy Spirit through this verse in Jeremiah 29:11 to minister to your heart, to speak to your voice, the echo of his heart. I have never stopped thinking about you. I know the pain that you go through. I know the bereavement that you face. I know the healing that you deserve and you so long for. I know the tears that you shed for your son or your daughter. I know what you go through. I have never stopped thinking about you. I love you, and I have a plan for you. I have a plan to give you hope and a great future. But meanwhile, I'm going to give you my peace in the midst of this evil. And I hope and pray that the Lord will speak to you through these messages, through this verse, as you seek His face day by day, as you turn up in Him every morning and every evening, as we are locked in and you make Jesus Christ the rock of your salvation, the purpose for your life, and as you look at His promises day by day, promises that are fulfilled, make no mistake, minute by minute and day by day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. Amen.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior in life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. In the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. In the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you for listening again to the message this morning, for participating in our worship time. And we'll see you hopefully, by God's grace, next week in church, if you'd like to come. I'd like to thank the deacons for their hard work and making sure that everything, all the rules and guidelines are respected and put in place. And so far, we thank God for His provision and protection over us, that as we met there, He was with us, and He has been faithful to His promises to us in our meetings there. Let me give you this blessing as we go into a new week, into a new future with God, a future that He has a plan for us, plans of peace, of hope, and to prosper us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, and may His promises be fulfilled in your life day by day as you trust in Him. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see.
For He has said,